Get your Bibles out, if you would, please. And everybody turn to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation 3. Once you get to Revelation chapter 3, I want you to find verse number 14. Revelation chapter number 3. Verse number 14, you might think, well, that seems like an odd place to start when you're going to talk about finances. But you'll see in just a moment why. Revelation chapter 3, let me tell you the name of tonight's lesson. It's this: your character affects your finances. Your character affects your finances. Revelation chapter 3. I want everyone to stand with me. We're going to read. I'm going to read it to you, and you can follow along silently. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14, and it says this: "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." Look back at me. Here's a church, some people that said, "We're rich." And God said, "No, you're not. No, you're not." He said, "You're poor. You're wretched." Very interesting. We're going to use that and let it help us to get started on the lesson tonight called "Your Character Affects Your Finances." Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Oh, the lesson will be very down to earth, very practical, very simple. But Father, it is the simplest of things that help us to succeed in the Christian life. Thank you for not making it complicated. Just help us to do the simple things you tell us to do. Holy Spirit of God, control what's said, control what's heard. As we study together tonight, help us to be better Christians because of it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Character can be an asset to us. It's an asset to us in the thing of making money. Our character becomes an asset to us in that of handling our money. In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 16, God is speaking to the church of Laodicea. And if you were listening, that church sickened God. He said, you're neither hot or cold, you're lukewarm. I'll spew thee out of my mouth. He's saying, I'm sickened at your behavior. And you know, if you were listening, one of their behaviors was this. They said, we're rich and we have it all. And God said, you're poor and miserable. Isn't it amazing how God views things so much differently than we do? And he said, God's always said, he said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And let me tell you, if they said they thought they were rich and happy, and God said they're poor and miserable, God's right. Let God be true and let every man be a liar, the Bible says. Now, I would tell you this, this world, from all I can tell, and probably based on even that scripture, this world is not financially happy. Now, I would tell you this, that God's people who will follow God's word, I think they can be happy with their finances. Now, getting money is not our main purpose in life. And that might be a shock to some of you. Getting money is not your main purpose in life. You say, well, what is? Pleasing God. Pleasing God is your main purpose in life. If you have a job, to be very honest with you, your job is your means to allow you to serve God with your life. That's what it is. Pleasing God's our main purpose. It's good to work for money, but it's great to work for God. Money's not bad, but the way we earn it could be bad. The way we spend it could be bad. The way we give or don't give it could be bad. But money's not bad. It would be like a gun. Guns are not bad. People are bad. It depends on how you use it. You take the thing of the internet. I don't think the internet itself is a bad thing. I think people are bad. The internet could be used in a wonderful way if it were used right. But the human race has this tendency to take things that could be used for good and use them for bad. And a lot of that, of course, we know is because of old Smutty Face, the devil. He gets involved and he gets our wires crossed and he gets in our brain and we get to thinking his way. That's why Jesus said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If they would think about the internet and use it like God would have it to be used, wow, we'd turn this world upside down for Christ. But we don't. But I tell you this, if we would handle our money the way God tells us to, I think we would also win this world to Christ. But we so often don't. Now, I'm going to make a handful of applications. They're going to be very simple. Probably won't say anything that you've not heard before. But because we're talking about finances, tonight we're going to talk about how your character affects your finances. So here we go. Number one, character helps us to work, and work helps us to earn money. So let me say it again. Character helps us to work, and work helps us to earn money. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 4 says, labor not to be rich. Now, it didn't say labor not. It said labor not to be rich. God knew that it would take labor for us to earn money. Now, you're going to labor as a result of your character. Money is a reward for our labor. And it takes character. I believe this. I think it takes character to find a job. And if you're looking for a job, may I suggest to you that you search diligently. I've watched people say, "Oh, Pastor, I'm going to go get a job." The other day, I turned in a resume, and this is what I say: I think you need to turn in about 100 of them. If how hard someone looked for work proved to me how hard they would work once they got it, some people would be sad employees. I think it takes character. Did you know that in America, there is work? There's work. I think it takes character to find a job. I think it takes character to get up in the morning and go to work. I think it takes character to arrive to work on time. Did you know you're supposed to get to work on time? Did you know it's wrong for you to get to work late? You say, but it was only 1 minute you were late, right? But it's only 1 minute you were late, right? It takes character to arrive to work on time. It takes character to get along with the other employees. I'll tell you something. Employers sure want to hire some employees that can show up on time and they can figure out how to get along with other people. I think it takes character to be productive at work. I think it takes character to learn how to follow orders. I think it takes character to go to work and to be consistently successful at work. Now remember, point number one is character helps us to work and work helps us to earn money. And there are a lot of people that struggle financially because they struggle with their character. You say it's an economy problem. No, it's a character problem. Let's go on. Number two, it takes character to use your money properly. It takes character to use your money properly. Luke chapter 19, verse number 23 says this, wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? Let me explain what is being said there. A nobleman gave his money to some of his servants. That nobleman then goes on a trip. He expected them, to whom he gave the money, to take that money and use it to earn him more money. Some did, but some didn't. And in verse number 23, he gets home and he scolds them for not using the money right. You see, he had earned it through his character and his labor. Now he's saying that money has to be used correctly. See, there are some people, they go to work and earn money, but then they don't use what they earn the right way. And I believe this. I think it takes character then to use your money right. I want to recommend, if you've never done this, it might be just a good idea for you to do the simple thing of setting a goal of using your money God's way. God will never cheat you. God will never shortchange you. That's not a pun. That's not a play on words. God will not hurt you. God knows everything. And if you would set a goal of using your money the way God would have you to use your money, you'll become successful. Set a goal of using your money the right way. Set a goal of using your money in an honest way. I think it takes character to get money. Of course, unless you're stealing it. But it takes character to get money. And then proper character will help you then to spend or use that money right. And number three, I think it takes character to save money for a rainy day. It takes character to save money for a rainy day. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8 says this, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." Now, what that's talking about is the ant saves some for the day that the ant can't go collect some. So it had some in store to meet its need when it couldn't go out and gather. Now, what's that ant gathering? Well, to you and I, we gather some money. But we don't spend it all because there may come a day when we can't earn some. So when I use the terminology, it takes character to save money for a rainy day. A rainy day means maybe that day when you can't earn. So, I want to make a recommendation to you, and you're going to have to work at this, but I'd recommend you not spend everything you have. It's called saving. That's just a new concept, but I think it's developable. I went to the public school. I didn't have the privilege of going to a Christian school. Back when I was in the public school, I think it was probably a good thing. They had a way for us through our school to start a savings account at our school. We could bring money in. They gave us a little savings book, and they would actually deposit money in a savings account for us through the school. I'm glad I learned that. So I'm telling you though, it takes character to save money for a rainy day. You say, well, what's the rainy day? Well, I think what I'm trying to tell you is you need to be prepared for emergencies. Some would call it an emergency fund. Never spend everything that you earned. My mom used to keep a rainy day. She had a coffee can. And she would tuck some of her extra money in that coffee can, shove it all the way in the back of the cupboard. Now, I don't think everybody here needs to get a coffee can, and I don't think you have to do it that way. But the concept here is don't spend everything you earn. Why? Because there may come a day when you can't earn, and if you set a little aside, you can be on time to pay your bills. As a result of missing a day of work, you have something to supplement it. Now, the whole subject tonight is how our character affects us financially. I said, number one, character helps us to work, and work helps us to earn money. I said, number two, it takes character to use your money properly. I said, number three, it then takes character to save some money for a rainy day. Number four, it takes character to budget your money. To budget your money. I'm going to read a verse to you. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 23, it says this, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks." Now that's an Old Testament verse, and you have to understand something. You probably have in your pocket a $5 bill or a $10 bill, and if you have some change, you might have a quarter or a dime or a nickel. Well, not in all cultures would they have a monetary system that would match ours, and not all the time when it's talking about your increase or your finances, is it talking about cash money? There are times in history where they traded with crops, and there were times in history when they traded with their sheep or their cows or their goats. And when you read through the Bible, it may not tell you this guy was a billionaire. It may tell you he had so many goats you couldn't count them all. And when people watched him walk through town, they said, that's the guy with all the goats. And we're not talking about wives now. We're talking about animals here. And so they would use the flocks, and it would become a form of bartering or trading. So in a way, the flock had something to do or was equivalent to money. It's something he had compiled. So when the Bible says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, it has something to do with the organizing of that man's money. You should know what you have. You say, why? So it is organized properly for distribution. Keep listening here. For some of you, the term budget, number one, it scares you. Number two, it is foreign to you. A budget is an organized plan for your money. That's what it is. In other words, if you have a budget, when your money comes in, you know how much is coming in. Then you know what is due, and it is already allocated to go toward your responsibilities, and you planned it that way. You know how much you earn, you know how much you need to pay your bills, and you organize those two amounts. Your budget is your financial roadmap. It leads you to financial success. And here's what I think. I think your budget should become your dictator. It decides what you do with your money, not your emotions, not your stomach, not the convertible that's for sale on the street corner. Your budget is your financial roadmap. Your budget becomes your boss. You sit down one day when you're have clarity of mind and you've got yourself under control and you say to yourself, I'm going to write down how much money I bring in. I'm going to write down how my money needs to go out. And then I'm going to decide to do what I'm supposed to do based on this organization, this plan that I'm forming right now. Then 2 weeks later, when you get your paycheck, that money comes in and you turn around, you go to your budget and say, budget, tell me what to do. And then you go pay your bills based on that budget. Your budget is your organized plan. You obey that plan. The average person has never written down and organized their income and their outgo. And let me explain something to you. Listen to your pastor. I'm a financial guru. Listen very carefully. Your outgo should not exceed your income. Now, if you listen to what I just said, I solved your financial problems. You say it's more complicated than that. No, it's not. Your outgo should not exceed your income. Now, if you want, I could put this in a series and I could charge you $250 and we could go down to the Hilton and I could get a room and I could teach you how to straighten out your finances. But I'm just telling you, your income and your outgo have everything to do with your financial success. And so it takes character then to budget your funds. You say, but I don't bring in enough to pay for my Lexus. Well, maybe you should have gotten yourself an Impala. Because it matches your income. Too many of you have taste buds for steak, but salaries for hot dogs. So what am I going to do? Eat hot dogs, baby. And keep yourself right with God. And don't cheat everybody that you owe money to. So it takes character to budget your money. Number five, it takes character to earn money for others. This is going to be another shocker. The depth in which I'm teaching tonight is amazing, isn't it? Number five, it takes character to earn money for others. Listen to this verse. Luke chapter 10, verse number 7, it says this, "In the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house." Here the Bible is talking about a laborer should be worthy of their hire. When somebody hires you, they are to benefit from doing that. I think you should recognize that. When you work for others, your goal should be their success. You say, why? Their success means you get a paycheck. You need to be productive when you work for others. You're not supposed to lose money for them. You're to make money for them. I think some people miss this, especially in this day where we would even consider entertaining socialism in our government. Somebody needs to wake up. Listen, you should not just earn your pay for your boss. You should earn them profit above your pay. You know, there are some people say, well, I earn my keep. You're supposed to earn more than your keep. If all you're doing is earning for your boss enough to pay your paycheck, why did he need to hire you? He didn't start the business to give you a check. Get this. He started the business to get him a check. Now, that's almost offensive to some people, but he didn't start the business for you. He didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, I just love somebody out there that I don't know. I think I'll go struggle and figure out a way to start a business so I can give them money. Whether you like it or not, if somebody owns a company, they own the company so they could earn a living. You say, well, I think they make enough. Well, if you're so smart, go start your own business and hire all of us. Build your building, buy the insurance, buy the trucks. Show us how it's done. But until then, if you're going to work for somebody else, you're supposed to make money for them. So the point is, it takes character to earn money for others. My experience is, and I've never had anything short of this happen. The more I made for my boss, the more he paid me. He said, I give you more money, you work harder. I said, I'll work harder. He said, I'll give you more money if you're more productive. I said, I'll be more productive. He said, I can give you a whole bunch of money. I said, I can give you a whole bunch of productivity. He said, you got a deal. I said, that'll be fine. It works that way. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's what makes an economy go. So, it takes character to earn money for others. Number six, it takes character to tithe. It takes character to tithe. I'll read to you Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. The Bible says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And the answer comes, in tithes and offerings. Tithe means tenth. And we are commanded to give God one-tenth of our income. And that's our gross. Now, I think it takes character to obey God concerning the tithe. I think it takes character to live off of the 90%. Whether you understand it or not, when you obey God, and so you all know, Jeff Owens didn't. I'm not the one that invented the tithe. It was around a couple years before I came along. But when you earn your income and you give the Lord 10%, that means you're going to live off the 90%. That will develop your character. That teaches you how to succeed on a little less. You say, I like succeeding on a little more. I know, but I'm telling you, it helps you to learn succeed from a little less. Tithing takes extra financial planning. Obedience to tithing is you using your character to benefit God. And I want you to understand something. The person tithing is the best for is you, not God. So you understand, God gave you 100%. He said, give me back 10, live off of 90. You say, well, That doesn't seem fair. I know. He should have asked for 90 and gave you the 10.
Right.
You're right. It doesn't seem fair. But you have to understand, whether you realize it or not, He owns it all. The air you breathe, the earth on which you walk, the water you drink, the food you eat. You say, I earn my food. I'm pretty sure those cows were God's in the first place. Doesn't that sound good? A big cheeseburger? Highway 55 cheeseburger, onion rings. God made onions. I'm for it. It takes character to tithe. And I do believe this. I believe tithing develops one's character. I believe that. Let me go on. Well, let me repeat myself. Not because I'm sick, but because I always do. I said, number one, character helps us to work, and then work helps us to earn money. I said, number two, it takes character to use your money properly. I said, number three, it takes character to save money for a rainy day. I said, number four, it takes character to budget your money. We said, number five, it takes character to earn money for others. Number six, it takes character to tithe. Number seven, it takes character to save money for your retirement. It takes character to save money for your retirement. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 14, verse number 28. It says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Here it's talking about, calculate into your finances finishing well. Okay. Now, young people, you look up here at your pastor. You'll get old someday. And while you're busy spending your money on things that are a little bit frivolous, and they don't even have to be sinful, they're just not necessary. You'll get old someday, and you'll wish you had some money tucked aside. There will come a day that you'll no longer be able to earn money because of your health or age. You need to plan to pay your bills even when you can no longer earn money. Social Security may not carry you. And there are people in here right now that say, no, it's not may not, it will not. But listen, you young couples, you listen to your pastor now. You're going to get old someday. And you need to work at your finances, because there will come a day when the word retirement to you, you say, oh, good night. That's for old people. Right. Right. You're right. I'm so far away from that. You know what? That's what I said. Now look at my hair. It's 95. It'll come. It will come. And the Bible talks about our life is like a vapor. It really does come and go very, very quickly. And so I'm just saying, it takes character to plan for that time of retirement. And you've got to work at it. You can't get ready for retirement if you spend every single penny that you make, and especially if you spend it frivolously. Let's go on. Let's see. Number eight. It takes character to control your spending on needs instead of wants. It takes character to control your spending on needs instead of wants. I'll read to you from Psalm chapter 10, verse number 3. And the Bible says this, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Here the Bible says, wicked people, they brag on people's covetousness. Well, covetousness is sin. It says they boast of their heart's desire. Now, you understand your heart is an emotion. I'm gonna boast about what I emotionally want. Let me warn you, it's called emotional spending. You bought it emotionally, not by principle. hate to tell you this, but you can't have everything you desire. Covetousness causes a lot of chaos. We buy emotionally, we want it, we get it, and then we don't know how to pay for it. Or we enjoy something today and we're robbing our future. You must know the difference in a want and a need. Yes, sir. Say, I want it. Now, be careful. You might want to see if you need it. Okay? What's a need? I must have it to survive. Simple. Water. You got to have water to survive. Right? Do you have to have a $4 cup of coffee to survive? Okay. Am I saying coffee's bad? I'm not. I'm just telling you, you must learn the difference between a want and a need. And God said, I will supply all your need. He didn't say, I'll supply all your want. What do you need to survive? I recommend clothing. Why? It protects you from the elements. You have to have it. God says nakedness and impropriety in clothing is a sin. So I have to have that. But wait a minute. Do I have to have designer clothes? Do I have to have so many clothes I can't store them all? No. Okay. Now, you say, you mad at me, Pastor? No, I'm just being very realistic in my teaching. You must know the difference between a want and a need. I wish I could get everybody here to stop. Just stop for a second and recalculate wants and needs. Some of you ought to look back at all the wants you spent your money on instead of realizing what a need was and stop griping that God hasn't blessed you. He did. He gave it to you, and you spent what He gave you on wants instead of needs, and now you have no savings. Check it. See if I'm not telling the truth. I know I didn't have to raise my voice and all that to do it, but it's one of the things preachers do while they're teaching. That's all. It's just a tool. You ought to write this down, memorize it. If someone else can live without it, so could you. Let me say it again, in case you didn't get it. This comes from Owens chapter 2, verse 4. If someone else can live without it, so could you. You say, but I'm not willing to. Okay. Now we're talking about the difference between wants and needs. Hey, somebody else might be able to prove the difference between want and need for you. They can do without it. Maybe you could too. Okay, we're going to move on. Number 9. It takes character to keep track of your money. It takes character to keep track of your money. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12, it says this, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That word account there, it's like accounting. Spiritually, God is keeping track of our behavior. He keeps spiritual accounts, spiritual records. I don't know if you realize this. I think he probably has a chart in heaven. He knows whether you tithe or not. But he knows if you're winning people to Christ. The Bible teaches that there's coming a day when rewards are going to be given. That means that there is some sort of accounting going on. But here it says that we're going to give an account of himself. Okay? So the Bible says that, you remember I read a verse to you earlier about knowing the estate of our flocks. Yeah, you take a farmer. You know, a good farmer, he knows how many sheep he has. Now, there's something interesting about sheep. If you've got a male sheep and you've got a female sheep, you could put them out in the field. You may end up with 3 sheep out of that deal because they will reproduce. So the farmer that was keeping track He didn't say, well, I know I had one male and I know I had one female. He kept checking to see if there was an increase. But, you know, wolves will eat sheep. So you might want to check to see if there's loss. But it takes character to keep track of your money. You said, preacher, it doesn't take much character to keep track of mine because I ain't got any. I understand. But what I'm telling you is, you need to organize your finances. Know who you owe. Know how much you owe. Know what the interest rate they're charging you on what you owe. Know when and what you owe is due. You got to know the due date. You say, well, it's going to be whenever I get my check. You're not thinking right. It is on the date that they told you it was due. You say, well, they need to understand. No, you need to understand. You're in arrears. You're the one that's wrong if you're paying late. Know how much money you have. Know how much money you need when it's time to pay the bills. God said we're going to give an account for ourselves. One of the big keys to having good finances is character, and part of it is just organizing. You could solve most people's financial problems just with the one statement I made about wants and needs. But let's go on. Number 10. It takes character to not love money. To not love money. And part of the reason for this is because we must suppress the flesh. It is the fleshly carnal part of us that would cause us to love something that God told us not to love. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. The Bible says this, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith." Yeah, those are really strong words. Erred from the faith. Why? Because they were coveting money. It says, "And pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Sometimes take 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10 and really, really look at it and study it. Notice though here, it does not say money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money. It says it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. In other words, God's saying you should not love money more than you love your wife. You should not love money more than you love your husband. You should not love money more than you love your children. You should not love money more than you love your church or the church services. You should not love money more than you love God. Listen, money is necessary for our survival in this society, but it is not what our survival is all about. We need it to survive, but we're not surviving for the sake of money. This will sound so simple. You don't live to eat. You are to eat to live. I'll say it again. You're not to live to eat. You're to eat to live. The Bible says that we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What would help a whole bunch of you is if you would put God at the top of your totem pole in every area of your life and say, everything I do, I will do to please God, to serve God. I've got a job. My job's purpose is that I would please God, not that I get rich, because the Bible says for the love of money is the root of all evil. Look at everything the Bible says. It says your love for money will cause you to err from the faith. You're going to pierce yourself through with many sorrows because you love something more than you love God, and you love something more than you love the other things that are most important. And I think it takes character to not love money. You say, well, if I had a bunch of it, I would promise God I wouldn't love it. Well, the way He figures that out is, do you love it when you have a little? Say, well, I'd tithe if I made $1 million a year. You know how God figures out if you would be worthy of being a millionaire? He wants to figure out if you'll tithe on the $10 that you have. Why should He trust you with $1 million if He can't trust you with $10? Let's go on. Number 11, money can be a character thermometer. Money can be a character thermometer. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 19 says this, "A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things." Someone once said that what that means is money will solve all problems. No, that's not what that means. Money's involvement answers many questions about you and about life. The way you use your money can teach you about your own character. The waste of money can be a sign that you have weak character. The lack of organization with your money could be a sign that you have a character flaw and you don't sit down and just organize yourself financially. I think someone that handles their money right, it's a sign of strong character. Money answers questions about what you are, about what I am, about what a country is, about what a church is. I think, you know, here at our church, we have a budget. See, I'm not telling you to do something that we don't believe in. We have a budget. We function by a budget. In other words, we figure out how much is coming in and how much is going out, and we never try to take more out than what's coming in. And look, if it ever comes down to it, we may have to cut back if there's not enough money. Okay, so money can be a character thermometer. It can tell you your temperature, if you will, on the character scale. I'll give you one more point, and then we'll be done. Number 12, character needs to be taught to our children. And the use of money needs to be taught to our children. So character needs to be taught, and it has to do with the exercising of character and their money. Listen to this verse, and you've all heard this verse over and over again. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." Now, what's that talking about? Well, I think it means train up a child in the way he should go about his morality. Train up a child in the way he should go in regard to his doctrine. Train up a child in the way he should go in regard to his money. Now, so you understand, your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. In other words, your children are more apt to do as you do than to do as you say. So one of the great things you can do for your children is to get it together and let them see someone that is organized, planned, faithful to handling their finances scripturally. Be a good example to them. Now, I think we ought to want our children to learn how to do things right financially. Now, I don't think they ought to just watch and pick it up. I think we ought to train them. The word train there, that word train is a repetitive word. It means you teach them, and then you teach them, and then you teach them. Now, anybody here that's a parent, you understand that. How many times you got to say it? I mean, how many times have you said to the child, "How many times have I got to tell you?" Well, you just keep telling them, and you tell 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 them. We hope they're going to get it, but they need to be trained financially. For instance, those of you that have little children, teach them to earn some money. Don't always just give it to them. You know, they can go pick up the sticks out of the yard and get paid a dollar. You don't have to just give them a dollar at Dairy Queen. You say, that's abuse. No, it's abuse not to teach them. We're supporting a big chunk of America that wasn't taught to pick up sticks to get a dollar. They're just used to having it handed to them. So you teach them to earn it. Don't always give it to them. Then teach them how to save. I know you think I'm old-fashioned, but there are some families you need to get a piggy bank for your kid. Teach them to earn a dollar and take a coin out of that dollar and put it in the piggy bank and then leave it there. Let them see it build up. Let them see it increase. Start them a savings account. So teach them to earn it. Don't always give it to them. Teach them to save. Let them watch it accrue. Teach them how to set financial goals. You say, what do you mean? Let's say a child wants a particular toy. Put a little chart on the refrigerator and show them that it costs $20 to buy that toy. And they're going to pick up sticks and get a dollar. Then we take a big X and we mark it through $1. We're $1 down, 19 to go. We got a chart. What are we doing? We're teaching them how to handle their financial their financial part of life, and they're moving toward a goal, and they're conquering, and they're making it happen. I think you ought to teach your children, and just so you know, you say, well, preacher, when you talk about tithing, you're just trying to get money for the church. I'm going to tell you something. God's always taking care of the church, and God always will take care of the church. And if you think your petty little pennies are going to make a big difference, it's not. I'm telling you the very best thing for you. You rob God, you're in trouble with God. You're not in trouble with me. I didn't dream up the tithe. But when my children were very, very little, all of them were required to tithe from day one. And they'd earn a dollar, and I'd sit down, they could tell you, this is how we did it. If they earned a dollar, I'd put 10 dimes out on the table. And I would say this, that dime right there, that's the first one. That's God's. Get a tithing envelope. Put it in there. I said, here's what I'd do. That dime right there, that goes in your piggy bank. You save that. The other 8 dimes, buy it on something that you need, or spend it on something you need, or something that you want. Just make sure you do those first 2 things, and you'll succeed in life somewhere along the way. You give God His part, you save some, then you spend. On what do I spend it, Daddy? First of all, if there are needs, you spend it on the needs. And I never stop them from buying the candy bar. Why? Nothing wrong with that. If as long as they tithe, as long as they saved, as long as they did what had to be done first, then you get a candy bar with what's left over. You adults listening to me? You say, thank you for explaining that to the children. America needs to hear what I just said. That's how you succeed at this thing. And if they said to me, Dad, what I want, it costs more than what I have. I said, I've got a solution. Oh, good. We'll wait. We can do it. And there are times they said, well, I don't want it then. I said, okay. Fine. How long do I have to wait? That's up to you. I'll give you enough work. You can get as fast as you want. You can stay up 24 straight hours and work at it. You say, that's ridiculous. You want it bad enough? Make it happen. We're not going to hand it to you. Well, I told my kids, I'll turn you into a capable adult. I'm not going to rub your belly and pat your head, whine with you all the way through life. So you teach them early. Teenagers. You teenagers better learn what your preacher's telling you tonight. And I'm going to tell you why it's real important for you. You're real close to needing to launch and go out on your own. Teenagers, mommy and daddy are not going to take care of you forever. You'll have to get some money. You say, well, I'll get money. You'll have to work. And if all of America would take the simple advice that I've given in 12 points tonight, America would be so much better off. I call the lesson, your character affects your finances. The Bible says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The church of Laodicea, they were not happy. And God knew it. And He said, you need to get it together. And I think all of us. The lesson's good for all of us. You know, and as simple as the lesson is tonight, anybody could do what I just taught. Anybody. That's not complicated. I didn't use any 3-syllable words. Very simple. Work at it. And you say, well, Pastor, will this help Will this help someone that doesn't have a lot of money? Oh, yeah. Will this help somebody that has a lot of money? Oh, yes. It works the same for everybody. Everybody goes through the same process.